Good morning. Happy Mother's Day for all of you mothers out there. I know this confetti well, and I know it's a little slippery, so to not have too much under my feet. I did go out to the bathroom before, and it's already all the way up the hallway out there, and even in the bathroom, so. I want to start this morning by acknowledging that while we celebrate today, we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to start by acknowledging that maybe it's a day of high emotion for many. Maybe you're longing to be a mum. Maybe you have lost your mother. Maybe your relationship, either as a child or a mother, isn't exactly how you would wish it to be. So today, although we stand here and we celebrate, we also stand with you and we grieve with you for your loss or the thing that is missing as we celebrate Mother's Day. To everyone who is a mum, who wants to be a mum, to the foster mums, the step mums, the solo mums, as Sue said this morning, the dads who need to be mums too, to the nannas, to the spiritual mums, we celebrate you, we love you, and we are so happy that you joined us today, either here in person or online. Happy Mother's Day to my mum, who I haven't actually said Happy Mother's Day to yet, but Happy Mother's Day. Haven't seen my children yet for them to say it to me either, though, so, you know, it's just how it is. If you don't know me, my name is Amber. I'm the associate pastor here at Elim. I'm married to Campbell, who is out there somewhere. We have four kids who currently are 18, 16, 14, and 12. And as I say that, I know you think, gosh, they were so methodical and planned. But we were not. So we just had one turn 18, and we're about to have one turn 13. So we had four kids in 5 years. I've said it before, 100% don't recommend. No regrets, just the age gap, don't recommend. No regrets, but you know, from a sanity point of view, the age gap, you should probably spread them out a little more if you're into family planning. Oh, yeah, well, that's actually a little bit early, but, oh, no, it's not. Look at them. How cute they were. So, yeah, that actually is supposed to be up. I mean, they're still kind of cute, but. So, yeah, so when Bailey was 5 years and 2 months when we had Xavier, and Nikita was 3 and Michaela was 20 months. So, yeah, like I said, busy. Anyway. I felt really strongly this Mother's Day that God had put a message on my heart for you. But today, while it is a Mother's Day message, I want to encourage every single one of you to lean in, because today is a message about being a human. Any humans out there? Yeah. Very little hands, I'm going to say. It's a little alarming, you know, but anyway. So yes, while it is a Mother's Day message, I did feel it needed to be preached today. It is a message about being human. The thing about preaching a message, I was contemplating yesterday because I went down to Christchurch, had 28 hours with my fresh 18-year-old who turned 18 on Friday, and I was driving back last night and I was pondering the concept of writing a message. And you know, the reality is when you write a message, every person is on a different part of the journey. You're on a different, every single one, you're on a different part of your journey in life. Some of you have already raised your children, some of you are raising your children, some of you hope to raise children, some of you are still children. Some of you, everyone is in different stages of their life journey, but you're also all in different stages of your faith journey. And so my prayer today is that whatever stage of life you're at, you have received something today that will be helpful for you tomorrow, and today maybe, and furthermore. But also, whatever stage you are in your spiritual journey, and in your journey of faith, that God would take you a step closer to Him today and into the purposes that He has for your life. I'm going to start by praying. Lord, I want to thank you for today. God, I want to thank you for each and every person in this room, for whatever stage of the journey that they're on, both in life and in faith. Lord, that no two people are in the same place right this moment. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that you supernaturally would speak into people's hearts, that supernaturally you would have a word for each person that's in season for them today. We honour you today, Lord. Amen. Earlier this year, I don't think it was that long ago, actually, I had the privilege of attending the Sisters Conference in Auckland. It was amazing. There were many life-changing profound things that God did in my heart. But one of the things that I took away from that message was one of the things that one of the ladies said, and everybody who is a busy doer is going to go, ouch, when I say this. But one of these takeaways I got was overwork is a form of unbelief. And like I said, all the doers say ouch. But hear me out, although it's not strictly scripture, God did really take me on a very profound busy mum journey regarding that statement. Because, you know, the reality is that overwork assumes that everything relies on us. Overwork assumes that we must carry the world, and if we don't do it, who the heck will? It assumes that we must carry the world when in reality God wants to carry us. I'm working because if I don't do it, who will? I'm trying to compensate because the world rests on my shoulders, and if I don't keep it, if I don't keep all the plates spinning, if I pull back even for a moment and the plates stop spinning, they'll all come crashing down. The world is over, or our world is over, which therefore means the world is in my hands, or my world is in my hands, not in God's. In transparency, I feel this often. In transparency, I feel like, because the reality is, we can walk as close as we want to God, but he is not going to come and hang my washing. He's not going to cook my family dinner. So we have to get it because we think he just ain't got it. We'll have to do it because he ain't got it. But the reality is, he's got us. And he wants to carry us as we do the things that we need to do in our lives, to look after our families, for our work. He's got us. Psalm 24, verse 1 to 2. The earth and everything in it, including his people, belong to the Lord. The world and its people belong to him. The Lord placed it all on the oceans and the rivers. Isaiah 49, verse 16 says, "See, I have engraved you," as in you, "on the palm of my hands." And this bit, I didn't know what it meant, but I did Google it. I did look it up. Your walls are ever before me. I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I did quite a bit of research on what that meant. It's deep, and I'm not going to go into it because it's not particularly relevant for what I'm saying. But the main thing that means is that your walls ever before me means your problems, your issues, your debts, your sicknesses, your things are ever before me. So what the Bible is saying is I've engraved you on the palm of your hands, and your things, your problems, your issues, your struggles are ever before me. Trusting the world or our world to God. And while it's true, a lot does rely on you, whatever stage you're at. Whether you're at school and you've got study to do, you need to do the study. Whether you're working, you have to get up and go to work. Whether you're raising your family, you have to get up, you have to look after them. Whatever you're doing, it's true that a lot relies on you. Particularly, obviously, because it's Mother's Day, there is a lot that mothers have to do. There's a lot of talk about the mental load of mothering. So it's not, you know, you may have the most amazing partner in the world who helps and does a lot of the physical stuff, but a lot of the problems for mums is the mental load of mothering. It's actually remembering everything. Who has to have their sports gear, what practice they have to be at, when the library books are due, what we're going to feed, what we have in the pantry, you know, like, and they talk about the mental load of mothering. So a lot does rely on you, or any one of us. But will the world fall apart? This is my question to you today. Will your world fall apart if you take a moment every day to choose to put your trust in God, to choose to rely on God? Will it matter overall in the scheme of the world if the uniforms were not washed? Will it matter in the scheme of the whole world if the children were not bathed that night? You know, I did this crazy thing. I've got another cute picture of my children to come up. Look at all that hair. When our children were young, and my husband used to say to me, do we really need to do this? And I was like, yes, we do. Every night we wash that hair. Every night. And in summer we plant, I know, look at Julie's face, she's like, you're crazy. And in summer I planted it, and in winter we blow dry because it's too cold to go to bed with wet hair. Every night we wash that hair. Why? I don't know, I can't answer. Other than I used to say, kids get food in their hair, it's dirty, they need to be washed. I don't know, I can't answer it. But was it important? Would the world have fallen apart if they missed a few nights? That's my husband, if you don't know him. I feel like this moment is going to come back to me at home sometime. Probably in the near future. Who here has seen the Barbie movie? I know it's not generally what you talk about in church. Who's seen the Barbie movie? Oh, there's not actually that many hands. Okay. In the Barbie movie, it's a great movie. It's actually a very, very good movie when it comes to gender stereotypes. But anyway, I'm not here to promote Barbie. I didn't have high hopes going to the movie, I'm going to be honest, but it's actually quite a profound movie. But anyway, there is a speech in the movie. Who's heard of the Barbie speech in the movie? Anyone? You have. I've talked to you about it, Tom. You have. Shh. Quiet now. I did contemplate playing it, but I decided it wasn't particularly relevant. But in this movie, every woman I know, every mother I know that has heard this speech felt it to the core of their being. This speech that one of them did about what it is, what you need to do to be a woman, like how contradictory the things are that you need to do to be a woman, the way that society sees women, the things that they're expected to do. But my question today to everyone as followers of Jesus is, it doesn't matter what the world expects of you, what does God say he wants of you? We can, you know, the little feminist thing inside you can rise up when you hear that, oh, that's true, that's terrible. But actually, as followers of Jesus, what does God say about you? I certainly know that God is not contradictory, and I certainly know he doesn't want women tied up in knots that woman who did that speech clearly is. And every woman that heard it went, yes, that resounds in my heart. But as followers of God today, what he says he wants from you, what his expectations are of you, and do you know what? He doesn't have a massive list. He just wants us to rely on him. He just wants us to be carried by him. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble and you will find rest. This yoke is easy to bear and the burden is light. If you're tired and you're weary from life, God says, come to me and I will take your burdens. I will take the heaviness that weighs on your shoulder and I will carry you. He wants to carry us. Isaiah 46, verse 9, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, I will carry you, I will sustain you, I will rescue you. And I want to put it out there that this is not just for women. This is not just for mothers. This is for everybody who's humaning, because humaning is hard. Men, especially fathers, I want to acknowledge you that you carry the weight of the world on your shoulders also. It looks a little bit differently than how your wives may carry it or how the mothers of your children might carry it. But men carry it too. You know, I'm not going to focus on this, but the reality is, on the next slide this shows you, you're not going to be able to know what it is, but I'm going to tell you. Suicide rates for men in their 30s are very high. The youth suicide rate, based on this graph, the youth suicide rate, depending on how they do graphs, the youth suicide rate in New Zealand since 2019 is the line that's going down, which is great. It's probably due to people like I Am Hope, that other line that is going up is 35 to 39-year-olds, mostly males. We don't need to keep that slide up. What I want to acknowledge is that everybody is carrying the weight of their world on their shoulders. It looks different for men than it does for women, but my message today is not women are carrying more than men. My message today is as humans, we're carrying a lot of weight on our shoulders, but God wants to carry you. God doesn't want you carrying the weight of your world alone. Men especially, he doesn't want you to have to always be the strong ones. He wants to carry you. God wants, and you know, I'm not saying, oh, well, God wants to carry us. Let's just put our feet up, relax. Spend 30 hours a day on you. It's not even 30 hours in a day. Spend many hours. I was not a mathematician. Sometimes it feels like it's 30 hours in a day, right? God wants us to work hard and to honour him. God wants us to honour him in everything that we're doing. But we're not honouring God when we're working so hard that we're stressed, we're grumpy, we're resentful. We're not honouring God. The times when I'm most stressed, the times where I lose it the most at my family, are the times where I'm trying to carry it alone. When I'm not relying on God, but I'm also not asking for help. So I'll get angry that I'm having to do everything, but have I actually said, can someone do this? Typically, no. Or I asked a teenager and they were like, yeah, when I get to it. Here's a story in the Bible of someone who took on too much work, who was working harder but not smarter, and it was recognised that it was not good for him long term. In Exodus 18, 15 to 24, Moses answered him, because the people come to me to seek God's will, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them God's decrees and instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people have come to you. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me now. I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. I'm not actually going to read the rest of that because what he said is what you should do is you should nominate representatives and they should take their problems to God. The people should take their problems to those representatives and only bring the serious things that they can't work out to you. And then everyone will be working and everyone will be satisfied and the strain will not be on only you, Moses, but the work will be shared. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So even Moses tried to work too hard and it was not good for him. It kind of implies I don't think you should work hard. I do think we should work hard, but I don't think we should work so hard and not share the load and not allow God to carry us. I heard this analogy, I think it was also at Sisters, but it was about life being like a series of boxes. And I don't know about you, but my goal until I went to Sisters this year, my goal for the year, you know, I sit with God and I say, I feel like I want to like see the year and plan it and kind of have a vision of what, and my goal was balance. Yeah, we all laugh. My goal was balance. I actually want to have balance in my life. I want to have balance in my work, balance in my family, balance in my health. I want to have balance in my life. But then I heard this analogy at Sisters, and it was like, life is like a series of boxes, right? And imagine these boxes can be filled with liquid, say coloured liquid, blue liquid. And we assume that we need to put equal amounts into every box and therefore my life will be balanced. But actually, what this person said was like, actually, I think what God really wants us to do is pick the most important ones for this time and this season and put everything into those. to recognise what season of life we're in and where the most important time and energy goes to, because we can't do 1,000 things for his glory, but we can do a handful of things for his glory. And as time goes by and seasons change, the boxes shift around and the amount of energy and work that you put into them changes. To quote here, one of the greatest challenges among women of our culture is taking time to cease from all the activities and to just breathe. We're in bondage to busyness. We constantly strive to complete the limitless to-do lists that hinder us from experiencing all that he has for us. By neglecting time for tranquility, scenery, and repose, we limit our Christ-likeness and miss out on some of God's greatest gifts for us. There are many, many chapters in the Bible that talk to us about how to live for Jesus, how to be a Christian, what is a good way to live your life. And they nearly all end with something along those lines. In Jude 1:25, all glory to him who alone is God, our Saviour through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power and authority are his before all time and in present and beyond all time. All glory to him alone. God's plan, you know, some people go, I don't know what God's plan for my life is. Can I tell you? It's the same for every one of us. God's plan for all of our lives is that he would get all the glory. Is that in everything that we do and in whatever we do, to him be all the glory. That as we live our life, we would be glorifying him. Not overworked, stressed out, and resentful about all the things that we're doing. But working hard in what he's given us to do to glorify him. Am I glorifying God when I'm doing my washing at home? Sometimes, honestly, no. Because I'm grumpy about it. I'm resentful about the person that didn't pull the sock out of the other sock, or, you know, when they're littler, particularly, you know, the underpants that are in the tights, or the, you know, whatever, the whatever. Just being honest. We're probably not glorifying God when we do our washing and we're resentful and we're grumpy about doing the washing, but can we glorify God in doing our washing and caring for our families? Absolutely. Do you have to like it even to glorify God? I don't reckon you do. I feel like it's unrealistic to tell you, go and be joyful as you do the washing. I mean, you can be, but it's probably not going to bring you joy. I mean, it might. Maybe you like washing. Doesn't bring me joy. Maybe you're a person who loves to cook and it brings you great joy. But if you're not a person who loves to cook, they still need to be fed every night, don't they? So you might not have joy in it, but can you still glorify God in it as you look after your family and you trust him to carry you as you do the things that you need to do in life? Absolutely. If you're a stay-at-home mum to young kids, you're glorifying God in raising those babies. I was a stay-at-home mum for 10 years and I have zero regrets about that because they're not that little anymore. I'll never get those kids back. I've got new kids and they're great. They grow and they develop and they change and it's an amazing gift as a parent. But I have zero regrets about staying home. I also have zero regrets about when I went back to work. It's all about being led by God to what he's calling you to do in your life, that your life will glorify him. But I want to encourage you that in this life, do remember to take time to smell the roses. You're busy, yes, probably, very. But everyone can take time to step back, to appreciate life, to give it to God, to ask him to carry us. Back in 2022, I did a whole message on Mary and Martha, and it was a very obvious Bible story to use in this topic of preach, but I'm not going to rehash all of that. It's still on the website if you want to go and listen to it. But I will say that often when we look at the story of Mary and Martha, again, the doers feel bad and those that have a natural heart to worship polish their halos and say, yes, this is what God wants of me. Luke 10, verse 38-41. While Jesus and his followers were travelling, Jesus went into the town. A woman named Martha let Jesus stay at her house. Martha had a sister named Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. But Martha was busy with all the work that had to be done. And she said, Lord, don't you care about me that my sister has left me alone to do all the work? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, why are you worried and upset about so many things? Only one thing is important, and Mary has chosen the better thing, and it will never be taken away from her. I've heard many a busy person feel disappointed that Jesus didn't react somewhat differently to Martha's difficulties. What this one interaction does not show us is the relationship that Jesus had with Martha. We just see this one moment. Imagine to be comfortable enough to say in front of a room full of people sitting at Jesus' feet, don't you care about me, Jesus? That's what she said. I don't know. I think you're going to be pretty comfortable to say that to Jesus in front of a whole room full of people. It indicates that they had relationship. It indicates that they had intimacy. John 11:5 tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her siblings. In verse 38, it tells you that Martha opened up her home. Who gets the most cleaning they've ever done in their life done 30 minutes before someone arrives? So that's probably what Martha was doing. Like, what? You can see him already. He's coming. Quick, clean this. Do this. Rah. Chuck this in the cupboard. You know. And she obviously wasn't quite done. And then everyone went and sat down and relaxed. And she was still doing. Jesus didn't rebuke her shortness. He didn't get cross at her for being snappy. But what Jesus wanted is to be with Martha. What Jesus wanted is for her to care for her spirit, for her soul, for a relationship with him first. I'm pretty sure he appreciated that he was going to be physically fed, though. I feel like he'd probably traveled and he was probably down with Martha cooking some food so he could be fed physically. But what he wanted her to do was take a moment to feed her spirit, to look after her spirit, to nurture her relationship with him before the doing. And that's what he wants us to do too. The challenge is to have a Mary heart in a Martha world. The world tells you you will need to be busy. The world tells you you only have value if you are doing, 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 producing all of the time. But that's not what the Bible says. The world tells you you need to be a certain way, do this, act this way, be this, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to be still and stand with him. The challenge is to do all that we do for his glory. The big and the small, to do the dishes for his glory, but also preach for his glory. To love our family and the people around us for his glory, but to do our cooking for his glory. The tucking in at night and the sharing the gospel to a fellow mum. The going to work or the being at home. The being the mum or dad taxi or the quiet time reading your Bible. The going to the football game to either play or watch, or the going to church. God wants us to do it all, being carried by him, and all for his glory. I really felt like God wanted to take us on a journey today. From recognizing that overwork is often unbelief. It's often us not believing that God is carrying us, that we think the world is ours to carry. And I wanted to show you that God wants to carry you in everything that you're doing, in everything that you have to be to every different person. Some people you have to be different things to. You're a wife to one, or a father to another, a a son, a daughter, a work colleague. He wants us to do our best, all for his glory.